This is Solve It for Kids.
Oh my goodness, I can look at that smile on your face. It is amazing. It looks like I'm looking at the stars in the universe. My goodness. Hey, so great to see you. My name's Jed Lee, and this is Solve It for Kids, the podcast that gives kids and families a peek into the real world of scientists, engineers, astronauts, aquanauts, teethanauts. I don't think that's a word. But anyway, really intelligent people, and find out how they solve problems using cooperation, creativity, and critical thinking. Right now, leading us on our exploration, it's our dean of all things STEM and STEAM, Jennifer Swanson.
Hello, Jed. How are you today?
I am amazing. My teeth feel bright and like shiny because I just brushed them. I am so excited for this episode of the podcast.
I think you've given our listeners a big hint about who is going to be on our show today. But before we do, we start with that, we need to give a shout out to two new Solve It for Kids team members.
Two.
To Brian and Julie. Welcome to the Solve It for Kids team.
Hey, Brian. Hey, Julie. What's going on? Thanks for being team members. That's good. So like, their parents must have gone to Solve It for Kids. SolveItForKids.com.
Right. On our website, solveitforkids.com, there's a big button that says join our team. And if you click on that and you ask your parents, you can go to our Patreon page and sign up and become a team member there and get a shout out and maybe even ask questions of one of our experts.
That's awesome. Well, we have a question to answer today. And so
yes!
I have to spin this really
fast. It's time to spin the wheel, though.
Okay,
spin
here
the
we
wheel.
Go.
How do you build teeth out of soap?
Okay, all right. First off, how do you build teeth out of soap? I want to know why you'd want to build teeth out of soap. I mean, the last thing I want in my mouth is a tooth made out of soap. That sounds gross.
Well, this, of course, is not for your mouth, but it's how dentists learn, which is a really cool idea. So on our show today, we have Dr. Emily Swanson, a dentist, who's going to talk to us all about it. And what? Yes, to let you know, she is my daughter-in-law, which is really cool.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, well, welcome to Solve It for Kids, Dr. Emily.
Hi, everybody. I'm so glad to be here. So Emily is, as I said, a dentist, and we all know that everybody has to go to the dentist to take care of their teeth and make sure everything's healthy, but she's going to help us solve the problem, how do you build teeth out of soap, and maybe why you would do that. So let's start with Emily. Tell us a little bit about your job. What do you do as a dentist?
So every day I help people take care of their teeth, and that means different things for different people. For a lot of people, that means you see me for 5 minutes when I check and say everything looks good, and then you get to go home. But for a lot of people, that's not the case. And so if you have a small problem, then a lot of times we're talking about doing a filling to fix a cavity. Sometimes we have to take teeth out. Sometimes we have to replace teeth, and there are a lot of different ways to do that. So I do a lot of different things every day helping people achieve health in their mouth.
I just have to say, put this on record, I have never, ever gone to the dentist's office and then 5 minutes later the dentist say, okay, you're good to go. Get out of here.
Well, maybe you don't take as good a care of your teeth as you should.
I don't know. Maybe. I just don't. I've had more fillings than I have teeth, so I don't know that how that works, but it's true.
Well, but I think the other thing that dentists do is, of course, they teach us how to take care of our teeth. So do you have any tips for kids or adults for that matter, Jed? Listen.
Yes.
How to take good care of your teeth?
There are two main things that you need to do, and that's brushing your teeth and flossing. Now, when you're a little kid, when you're 5 and 6, you may not be flossing because you have gaps in between all of your teeth, and that's the way it should be. But as you get older and you get all of your adult teeth, all of your baby teeth have fallen out, your teeth are going to be touching and you need to clean in between those. You can't do that anymore with just your toothbrush. That's why flossing is really important. It keeps your gums healthy and it gets in between those teeth where your toothbrush can't. You should be doing that once a day. Brushing your teeth, you should be doing twice a day for 2 minutes. So if you should get a timer out and time yourself and see if you're actually taking that whole 2 minutes to clean your teeth. And you want to get every surface of your tooth. You want to get the back teeth, the front teeth, behind them, on the side, all the way down to the gum line on the top and the bottom. You want to make sure you're cleaning your whole teeth.
I have a question. It's not about brushing my teeth. I'm trying really hard, but I don't understand why we have baby teeth and then big teeth. I mean, I don't have baby, well, I have a baby finger, I have a pinky, but I didn't lose it and grow another finger. That seems to be like the only part of your body that falls out and then grows again.
Well, when you're a baby, you need teeth to start chewing things, but your big adult teeth wouldn't fit in your mouth at that point. So we have smaller baby teeth that grow in, and then once we as people have gotten big enough, then they start falling out, and the bigger adult teeth come in after them.
So now we talked about what dentists do. Now, I really want to hear about how and why you would build teeth out of soap, and what a dentist would do with that, more importantly.
So when I am helping people fix their teeth, if you have a problem with your tooth, we're going to be doing a lot of different things where we need to create something that looks natural to replace part or all of your original tooth. So what we want is for when you smile, for it to be beautiful and look like it's always been that way. And also we want when your teeth come together, when you bite down, for it to be comfortable and feel normal. So for those two main reasons, we have to learn as dentists the anatomy, which means the shape of your teeth in detail. So teeth are not just round. If you look in your mouth, you'll see lots of hills and valleys and you'll see all kinds of grooves and things in your teeth. Those are normal and they need to be there for your teeth to fit together correctly. So what we do is, in order to learn the anatomy of those teeth, to learn the shape of those teeth, we build them out of soap or wax or other things when we're practicing.
Oh, wow.
That's cool.
I know, isn't it?
Yeah.
So how do you get a tooth that looks like a tooth in somebody's mouth? Are you just kind of carving the soap based on looking at it? Or do you do a mold or...
So there are several different ways. You can look at pictures, but it really helps to have something 3D. So when you're in dental school learning to be a dentist, they give you 3D models of teeth and you try to copy that. Sometimes they'll give you a little model where half of it has been cut off and they say match the other half and you put wax on that little model to try and match the tooth. And then once you've mastered that, they give you just a little nub and say, now build a tooth on this and make it look right. So you kind of progress through the experience.
Wow. So not only do you need to have all that doctor dentist kind of knowledge, but you have to be an artist too.
Yes. Dentistry actually combines a lot of medicine, a lot of art, and a lot of engineering. And that's what part of what I love about dentistry is that it combines all of those things into one career.
I never thought about it that way, honestly. That's cool.
Yeah. So I get the art part and I get the medicine part, but what's the engineering part? I haven't heard you talk about that yet.
So when you are helping to make a crown, which is like a little hat that sits all the way over the tooth, or something like that, then we have to choose the right material that's strong enough to last a long time, but also looks natural and gives people a beautiful smile. And there are lots of different materials to choose from, and the correct material is different in different situations. So you're thinking about the properties of that material, the strength, the fracture toughness, and all other kinds of things that my husband could talk about for hours. Yes. And you also are thinking about how I'm going to attach that crown or whatever it is to the tooth. So there's lots of different cements, and those different glues and cements are made differently based on the material that made the crown. And so we kind of have to then match the cement and what it's doing to the material that the crown is made out of and make it work for your tooth, which is alive. So we need to keep it that way.
So what I'm hearing is you solve problems every second of your job every day, meaning you just walk in and then you have to just look at the patient and figure out what they need and then fix it, whatever you have to do, right?
Yes. I spend a lot of time trying to solve problems or come up with a solution to a problem someone is presenting to me. For example, I will walk into a room and somebody will say, "Ow, I have a toothache. It's on my upper right." And so from that information, I have to start asking them questions, gathering information about what does your pain feel like? Where exactly is it? Can you point to it or is it just everywhere? You know, how long has it been bothering you? If I do this, what happens? If I do that, what happens? And we have to figure out exactly what the problem is to then choose the correct solution. And usually there's three or four solutions we could choose. So then the patient and I have to sit down together and say, okay, these are your options. So let's talk about which of those options is best for you. And then we have to solve another problem. Now that we know what the problem is, what is the solution that's right for this person?
You know, what's interesting, Dr. Emily, is that you've had a lot of different experts on the show. And one of the things we've heard a number of times is whether it's a scientist, whether it's an astronaut, whether it's an engineer, now whether it's a dentist. One of the first big things in solving a problem is taking the time to understand what the problem is.
That's very true. Without that information gathering phase where I sit down and say, let's figure out everything that's been going on, I could diagnose something incorrectly. And that then can lead to whatever solution we try not working. So it's very important to first figure out what the actual problem is and make sure we're solving the right problem.
I have to say, I never really thought in depth what dentists do. You know, you go in and you're like, yeah, like I said, like it hurts here, just figure out how to fix it. And it never occurred to me all of the steps you have to take and all of the things you have to go through. I mean, they've asked me questions, but now I understand why asking the question. Like, you're not just kind of trying to be annoying, like, yeah, it hurts here and it's a scale of 1 to 10, it's like a 5. Like that all gives you bits of information that help you figure out how to solve the problem. That,
right, it does.
Interesting.
Yeah, it really is. How did you get into being a dentist?
Well, I didn't know I wanted to be a dentist until I was about 20 years old. I'm not the kind of person who woke up one day and said, this is right for me. It took me a while to get there. Essentially, I enjoyed learning about science and the human body and how it works. So when I was in college, I majored in biology and started thinking about healthcare as a potential career. And then I realized, you know, I really like working with my hands. I like playing the piano and I like making pottery. And I wanted to do something that let me do that. I didn't want to sit and think all day. I kind of fell into dentistry. My dentist, when I was a kid, invited me into his office over one summer to watch him. And I said, wow, he really does. He gets to work with his hands. He thinks about medicine and he works with the human body. And it really appealed to me because of all of the different things that it involves.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, one of the things I always wondered is when my dentist is like over my head, so like looking at me and they're kind of upside down, and then he has to put a mirror inside my, I mean, it just looks like everything's like backwards. How do you figure out how to look at stuff with the mirror and I don't know if I'm making sense, but it doesn't make sense to me.
It's upside down and backwards. So it takes quite a while to really sit down and figure out how to move when I'm looking in the mirror and not directly at the tooth. But it's really important long term because that's what keeps me healthy. Instead of craning over upside down and backwards my neck and my back and myself, that mirror keeps me healthy. So it's important for me to use that. And the way that we learn is on models. So like I said, with the wax, they give you models when you're in school and you're learning. And what you do is we have a little mannequin head and he has like rubber cheeks and everything. And then we put the mirror in there and we essentially practice moving our handpiece up, down, backwards and forwards and prepping like fillings into teeth, getting cavities out of teeth. And we practice how to do that on fake teeth before we learn how to do it on a real person.
So when you're looking in the mouth, you're not looking at the tooth, you're looking at the mirror?
It depends on which tooth you're working on, but most of the time I'm looking at the mirror.
Okay. And I would imagine the ones that are up, the upper ones, are almost harder to work on because that's, yes, you know, the angle that you got. I mean, I know how I sit, and then, you know, the dentist always told me I have a small mouth, so I have to open my mouth really, really, really big so they can, yes, get that's the other thing, get each of the pieces inside your mouth at the same time. So you have the dental tool, and then you have the mirror, and, you know, all this other stuff that they're doing. Sometimes they put the suction thing in there too.
Yep.
So you also have to work in really small spaces, not, yes, only upside down and backwards, but really small spaces.
And there's not a lot of light back there. And so that's why a lot of dentists wear the glasses that have the headlight on there, is to reflect more light onto my mirror. So it'll bounce off my mirror onto the tooth. And that's one of the ways I kind of light up what I'm looking at, and also helps me see better.
That's why, you know, when you're talking about being liking pottery and liking playing the piano, I didn't get what that had to do with being a dentist, but now I kind of do, because you got all that stuff going on. Yes. You have like three or four things inside that you have to manipulate, and so that's really wild.
Well, and you have to be, like, a lot of, I guess, jobs don't require you to use both of your hands independently, too, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. You have to hold one with this and maybe move with your, depending on if you're right-handed or left-handed, move the mirror with your left hand maybe, and then move the dental tool around with your right hand.
Yeah, usually with one hand I'm holding the mirror, and with the mirror I'm both trying to see what I'm doing and keep your tongue or cheek out of my way so it's not in the way of my handpiece. And then with my other hand, I'm trying to keep that hand steady, do what I'm supposed to do with my handpiece. And usually I'm also kind of pulling back on some other tissue with that hand as well. So there's a lot of multitasking going on.
Wow. I have to ask you, is it gross looking in people's mouths all day?
Usually, no. There are exceptions to that rule, but most of the time it's not gross at all. That's one of the most common questions I get, is how can you stand to be a dentist? That's got to be so gross. And it's really not, you know, the mouth is just as much as part of the body as your skin or as, you know, your bones are. I could never be a dermatologist because I think people's skin is really gross, but their mouths are fine. So it just depends on what you're doing.
I guess it's whatever you're trained for. Now, speaking of training, so what kind of training do you have to do to become a dentist?
So you do need a degree from college, and most people will get degrees in biology or chemistry, but you can actually have any degree you want. It doesn't matter. There were a lot of people. There was a graphic design person in my class. There were several engineers, so you can get any degree you want, as long as you take the right classes. And then after college, you go to 4 years of dental school. That gets you your doctorate degree. And when you graduate from dental school, you can be a general dentist. If you want to be an oral surgeon or another dental specialist, then you would have additional years of schooling after that.
Yeah. So like if the orthodontist, where everybody gets their braces, and that's probably where most of our listeners will go eventually.
Yes.
Unless you're lucky and you don't have to go to orthodontics, in which case your parents will be very, very happy.
Yes, they will.
What was it like the first time you had to pull someone's tooth?
It was very nerve-wracking. Being the person that's taking something out of someone else is not a normal thing. And so you kind of have to psych yourself up for it. You kind of have to, you know, get, you know, pumped a little bit, like you're going to play a sports game or something like that. Because you always want it, you want to be doing your best for that person, and you want them to be comfortable the whole time and everything. So you have to be patient and also just ready to go.
Well, so we like to ask everybody that comes on our show to talk about failures or maybe mistakes that they made and whether or not you learned from them. Can you share any of these that you've had, if you've had any?
Sure. I could tell you about a lot of them if you would want to hear. But one of the ones, like I was talking about building teeth out of soap or wax, the very first day that we were doing that in dental school, I worked for 4 hours on half of one tooth. And I was, you know, I worked really hard on it. And at the end, I looked at it and thought, okay, it's not perfect, but it's pretty good. I took it to my professor and he looked at it for a second and said, that's not really what we're looking for. I was so crushed. I spent all weekend just feeling really sad about it. And I went back to school the next week and we spent 2 or 3 additional months working on this. By the end of that time, I'd practiced enough that I actually felt pretty confident doing it. And now it's an important tool that I can use in my practice to get the best outcomes for my patients.
Yeah, so it's so important when you make those mistakes, and everybody makes mistakes, to not give up on yourself.
Yes. And it took a while before I was actually, you know, okay at doing this, but it's an important skill to have. So you just got to keep working at it.
So I have to ask, because I am sometimes what I refer to as a dental chicken when I go in. We've had this discussion before. So what do you do with patients that are nervous? Because you are going to have some people that are nervous when they come into the dentist for whatever reason, that, you know, it's just not their favorite thing to have teeth pulled or whatever. How do you calm them down? Do you have, like, things to tell them to prepare, or deep breaths, something?
Deep breaths is never a bad idea, but there are a lot of other things that we do. Most people are nervous when they come into my office. It's not, you know, I get more people that are nervous than not any given day. So there are a lot of different things you can do to make people feel comfortable. The first thing that I do is usually just say, I understand you're nervous and that's okay. I want you to know that I'm going to do my best to keep you comfortable. Because firstly, they need to know I care about them.
Yes.
And then after that, we can work through it together. So I usually ask people, are you the kind of person that wants to know, or are you the kind of person that doesn't want to know? And then if they don't want to know what's happening, then I'll try to chat about what I did last weekend, or, you know, distract them with stories or play music. If I have somebody who does want to know what's going on, then I check up on them every 15 to 20 seconds. I say, this is what we just did. This is what we're doing now. And this is what we're going to do next. And that kind of helps people feel a little more in control. I also have people raise their hand if they need a break or something during a procedure. And I let them know at the beginning, hey, if I see your hand go up, I'm going to stop and we're going to take a break. And that way they have a way to say, I'm uncomfortable and I need to take a break for a minute.
Yeah, that's good to know. I'm one of the ones where I like to have dentists that are caring and be like, are you doing okay? You doing okay? Yes. Okay. That's me. And I'd be like, yeah, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Or like you, I need a break. Like, I need a break.
So there's a second. Yeah.
There's lots of thumbs up from me. Yes, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Dr. Emily, I have a question. Is it okay for kids to ask a doctor or a dentist questions about what's going on?
Definitely. If you have a question, please ask. I love explaining what I'm doing to kids, especially because I like when they're interested in what I'm doing. If you want to know what, you know, a tool is, or the process of what we're doing, or what does that do or this do, then just ask and I'd be more than happy to talk about it.
Yeah. And I think that's a good way to make kids feel comfortable, because when I was a kid a long time ago, I had a dentist who really wasn't interested in talking to the children. You were just supposed to sit in the chair and be quiet. And I think for me, that was what made it really scary, because I felt like I just had to be there and let this guy do whatever he needed. Now, he was a fine dentist. We didn't have any problems. But I think if he would have taken the time to explain stuff to me, even as a kid, I would have been more comfortable in the chair.
That's one of the reasons I became interested in dentistry. Is I had 10 baby teeth pulled as a child because my teeth didn't fall out the way they were supposed to. And my childhood dentist was so wonderful with me. And every time I had to go and get this done, like, I knew what it was like from the time before. I didn't want to go, but he always made me feel comfortable. And he kept me, you know, up to date on, hey, this is what we're doing now, and this is what we're doing next. Okay, take a deep breath, and then we're done. He made it a very calm experience for me, and I remembered that when I got older.
Did you do 10 teeth all at once?
No. I believe we did 2, 2, 4, and then 2.
Wow. You know, I always wondered why in the world my dentist always waits until he puts a Novocaine in my mouth and my mouth is all numb, and then he has the stuff inside my mouth, and then he starts asking me questions like, how was your vacation? And I'm there going, oh.
I try not to do that. It's very hard, though, because you have someone in front of you and you want to talk to them, but you can't because they can't talk to you. So sometimes it's just habit of, I should talk to the person I'm standing next to, but it's, I try not to because I know it is difficult.
I heard the craziest thing, and I don't, maybe you can understand, I should have asked the dentist this, but one time my dentist said to me that if I want to keep my heart healthy, I have to keep my mouth clean. What does those two things have to do with each other?
So your whole body is interconnected, and that includes your mouth. Keeping your mouth healthy and avoiding gingivitis, which is the early sign of gum disease, is really important for your overall health. It reduces the risk of having heart disease. It reduces the risk of having a stroke. It reduces your risk for certain cancers. And the list goes on and on and on. It's a really long list of all of the things that we know that having disease in your mouth can actually increase your risk for other things. And so it's really important to keep your mouth healthy, and that'll give you a better shot at, in life, at avoiding all of these other problems.
So you don't just brush your teeth for your teeth. You brush your teeth to keep them healthy for your heart and everything.
Yes.
Everybody hear that? Got that, Jen?
I got that. I listened to him. I didn't understand it, but I listened to him.
Well, we have this really cool thing that we do with each one of our guests. We ask you to give our listeners a challenge. So we're wondering what challenge you have for our listeners today, Dr. Emily.
Well, just like I did when I was in dental school, one thing you could try at home is going and getting a bar of soap and then try to carve a tooth out of it using a spoon or a butter knife, obviously with your parents' permission.
And does it have to be like white ivory soap, or can you be kind of like cool and like make a green tooth out of Irish Spring or something like that?
You can make a green tooth if you want.
But, you know, that will be interesting to see, because I'm imagining that this is more difficult than you would think, because we want you to try and, you know, get the grooves like Dr. Emily was saying, not just the square, you know, or rectangle. You have to kind of make it, shape it like a tooth. Once you have done that, take a picture of it and tag us on Twitter and Instagram. We're there at KidsSolve for both of them. And then we will also tag Dr. Emily, and she can take a look. And if she has time, maybe she can evaluate some of your teeth and tell you, yeah, that looks good. Or I don't know, that one looks more like a basketball or something, right?
I'm excited to see them.
Yeah, I'm wondering if a kid's going to make like a snaggle tooth that hangs down over your lips and stuff like that.
Okay, we didn't say they had to be human teeth.
Oh!
Right?
That's true.
Cool. Right? Excellent.
You don't necessarily have to be human teeth. You could get creative and make big fangs like snit on the snake or something like that. Yeah, sure. Why not? Go to town. Just be safe when you're carving your soap, please. Don't use really sharp knives. Unless you have your parents' permission, and if you, you know, make sure that you're safe. But I'm excited to see what kind of tooth would you make, Jed?
The snaggle tooth. Yeah, I just want to, and I just won because I'm going to be different. I don't know. Hey, Dr. Emily, we learned so much today. Thanks for being on Solve It for Kids.
Thank you so much for having me.
Wow, Jennifer, that was awesome. Dr. Emily is, like, fantastic. It must be interesting at your home, like on Thanksgiving. You guys must be like talking science stuff and everything.
Well, there is a lot of science in my house. Yes, absolutely. We have engineers, we have nuclear engineers, all this kind of stuff. And now we have a dentist.
Yeah. So, like, you have to like make sure that your teeth are like nice and clean when Dr. Emily comes over?
No, there's no exams at our house when Emily comes over. But she did a fabulous job talking about how you become a dentist and then why it's important to learn all these different things. And especially, I love that thing where you have to use the mirror backwards, right? Upside down? How do you do that?
I know, that's crazy. That's crazy. Well, I'm excited. I'm learning so much, and we have so much more coming up. We have another great guest for next week.
We do, and we will give you a preview of that on our website, solveitforkids.com. So go check it out, and make sure to do all of the challenges there for each of the podcasts, and that's where you find out more information about each one of our guests, solveitforkids.com.
That's awesome. Hey, I had such a great time. Be sure to join us next week on
Solve It for Kids.